So this is our authors and writers group, and today we're going to be talking to Marion Poppelmeyer. She and I go back a lot of years, Marion. Oh my gosh. I know that some of you may recognize her from an organization that we were all affiliated with early on, which was an authors group, a writers group, and that's how Marion first got published. And so we're going to talk to her about that because it's just a kind of a fun topic, and I want to show you how she has actually monetized and how she is monetizing her writing, because that's one of the biggest questions that Sandy and I get all the time is, number one, how do I get published? And then number two, how do you make any money once you get published? You know, can you actually make some money on what you're writing? And so that's what we're going to talk about today. I'm Kathy Benner. I'm a passive income mentor, and one of my lanes, of course, is being an author and writer. My third book comes out in April, so I'm excited about that. Anyway, I have decided, and we're going to talk about the briefly before we jump into our interview with Marion. We're going to talk briefly about the different ways to get published and why I chose the way that I did. And for those of you that know me, know that real estate investing is kind of the way I finance my lifestyle. And I wanted to, from the time I was age 12, I told my mom that someday I want to be a writer. You know, of course, at age 12, I didn't know what all that meant. And so now that I am starting to get published, the problem was is that I didn't know what I didn't know. And they say, well, anybody can be published, just go out and publish. Well, you still have to figure it out. You know, that self-publishing thing isn't all that simple. And you still have to figure out how to format and how do you do a book cover? And then how do you get your ISBN number? And then how do you get it uploaded? And how, you know, and I had a girlfriend, and Debbie, you know who I'm talking about. I'm talking about Connie. She uploaded a book years ago and she scared me. She said, oh my God, I'll never do that again. And I said, why? And she said, I couldn't get the darn book, the page numbers to go right with my book, and my titles were all, you know, Frankenstein. And she said, I couldn't get it to look right. And she said, I will never do that again. And well, and that scared me. And I'm like, oh, well, if Connie can't figure it out, I'm not going to try to figure it out. And so when it finally came time for me to publish, I decided to use what they call a vanity press. And that's also what Marion did early on. It's that hybrid between traditional publishing and self-publishing. And Marion decided to go kind of with the hybrid. And I decided to go with the hybrid. There's no right or wrong. If you're published, you're published. When it comes out and you're on Amazon, it gives you some clout to be with a traditional publisher. And depending on what your goals are at the other end, it makes a difference on how you choose to be published, depending on what your goals are. Well, my goal is that I wanted to sell courses and mentoring and a membership site, and that was where I was headed. And my books were going to kind of supplement how I was going to make the money. The book itself wasn't going to be the end all for the income. Now, if the book, and this is just my opinion, and Sandy, feel free to jump in there. If the book is going to be your end all and that's going to be the income, then I would recommend possibly a traditional publishing, because at that point, you've got a publishing company that gives you a lot of clout because they picked up your work, they're promoting your work, they're editing your work, they're putting you out there, and you still have to bring some audience to the table. But it's nothing like if you're out there on the other end of the spectrum where you're self-published and you get to do it all. You get to do the writing and the editing and the book cover and the uploading and the, you know, and the marketing. And so it depends on what your end goal is, I guess is what I'm saying. And there's no right or wrong way. I don't want anybody to feel that they're less of an author if they self-published versus traditional published. You'll have some folks out there that do feel strongly about that. And I can appreciate where they're coming from. I understand that, because we all know once the self-publishing became so available, that it did kind of water down the quality, because anybody can be self-published and it doesn't mean that it's good, you know. Whereas if a traditional publisher picks you up, you can pretty much assume this is going to be a good one, because the public, you know, books are money, books are business.││ It's all about the money. And a traditional publisher isn't going to pick up your work and put you out there if they don't think it's going to sell. And so being traditionally published does have its merits. So I'm not saying any one is better than another. It's just what your goals are at the other end. Some folks they just want to publish a memoir because they feel that they want to get it in writing. They don't really care if it sells a lot of copies. Maybe they're doing it for themselves. Maybe they're doing it for their families. Maybe they're doing it for their legacy. And so maybe self-publishing is the way to go for them. So I just want you to know there is no right or wrong. And I'm going to share my screen for just a moment so that you can see. Bear with me here. See if it'll come up. I want to show you. Here is the homepage of my academy. This is what I do, and this is how I monetize my writing. And here is the authors and writers. You can see that here in this little drop-down bar. And when we get to the authors and writers, there is a course. And again, this is how I'm monetizing my writing is by publishing courses along with my books. And I just want to show you where to find this information. And so here is the topics that are covered in the course. It's how to choose a publishing route, editing your draft, getting feedback, titling your manuscript, all the way down to marketing your book. And we talk about a different topic each month. And here's the calendar where you can click through and find all of our free events. Here's where you can get onto the Zoom call. But when you come down, you will see about choosing a publishing route. And so that's what we were talking about. So I'm just going to jump over. And again, I'm just going to give you an overview. Self-publish your book on Amazon Kindle, that's the easiest one. You can take full control of your manuscript that way. You can self-publish on platforms like Amazon KDP. It allows you to oversee every aspect from writing and editing and formatting, cover design, but you have to wear all those hats. And you can publish it as an ebook, a paperback, or even an audiobook. So you can do all of that yourself. It's very cost effective, but again, you're wearing all the hats. You can maximize your royalties and market directly, but then you're like, now I got to be a marketing person too. And yeah, unlike traditional self-publishing, it offers you up to 70% royalties. But okay, if you're not into the marketing and you don't sell very many books, you get like 70% of zero. So it's all relative. So to effectively market your book, you have to use some strategies. You have to either run Amazon ads, you have to have a good compelling book description with keywords that are picked up in SEO searches. You have to maybe build a launch team of early readers. And Marion can attest to this, but even though we both went through a hybrid, we still did a lot of this along with our publisher to try to promote our books. You can have social media channels. You can have an author's page. You can have a blog. You can have an email list. So there's all kinds of things that you can do to help promote your book. Now, you can collaborate with a hybrid publisher. And again, this is what Marion and I did. Two different ones, by the way. She and I used two different hybrid publishers. But a hybrid publishing, it's an appealing middle ground. It's between self-publishing and traditional. And you get what you pay for. So do your homework if you're going to use a hybrid publisher, because they will tell you exactly what comes with their price point. Sometimes they include the editing in with their price point, sometimes they don't. Sometimes they include the ISBN number, sometimes they don't. So again, my point is just make sure that if you're using a hybrid that you do your homework and you make sure that you're going to get what you're paying for. And there is some price, there is a ticket that comes with that. You know, there is a price point to use these hybrids. And the more, here's the rule of thumb, the more they do for you, the more they're going to charge you. Okay. And so just do your homework. And one big point with hybrids, there's a lot of scams that are starting to come up on the internet, and you could get scammed out of some cash flow, out of your cash using a hybrid. So make sure that you do your homework, get referrals, get references, do all of your due diligence before you sign on the dotted line to use a hybrid publisher. And I hate to say that because there's some really good ones out there, but the scams are there as well. And so just please do your due diligence and don't get scammed if you decide you want to use a hybrid. And then, of course, there are the traditional, where you go through a literary agent, you connect with a traditional publisher. The first thing is you have to craft a compelling query package. And I wanted to present this first before I turn our Zoom call today over to Sandy, because she is going to tell us all about a writer's workshop. And this is where you get to learn to do some of this, how to write that query letter, how to pitch some of your work to an actual traditional publisher. So these I wanted you to kind of get an overview and an idea so that when Sandy tells you about her writer's workshop, it'll make sense and you'll say, "Oh, I get it now. I get what she's talking about." So you have to include a polished manuscript, a sample or proposal to ensure that your work has been professionally edited. You get to research agents who represent your genre, carefully following their submission guidelines. I write sometimes I'll write grants in the real estate industry. And when you write a grant, by golly, you have to cross your T's and dot your I's exactly the way they say. And that's the way it is when you're submitting to some of these traditional publishers. If they tell you that they want it certain space, certain fonts, you got to do it exactly. Because if not, they're getting hundreds, if not thousands, of submissions, and they don't take the time to sort through all of the great stories if you're not submitting it the way they've requested it. So just make sure that you really pay attention to the submission guidelines. And in today's publishing landscape, having an engaged online presence can significantly boost your appeal to these traditional publishers. And so have an author's page on Facebook. Have a website, put yourself out there as an author. And if somebody just Googles your name, make sure that it comes up that you are an author and that you are writing and that you do have a following. So I just kind of wanted to give you an overview of how all of that works. And if anybody has any questions, feel free to jump in before I turn it over to Sandy. I'm going to let Sandy tell you a little bit about what she does, but do we have any questions about and again, that's very generalized because you've got traditional publishing on one end, you've got self-publishing on the other, and you have a million and one hybrids in the middle of all of those vanity presses. So, question, MJ says, how do I use my pen name? You simply would put your pen name as the author of the book. Yes. Now, again, there's a lot of rules of thought on that, MJ, on using your pen name. Some folks go, if you're just going to market your pen name and people get to know you by your pen name, you can kind of, get established that way. But a lot of times it's easier to not use a pen name. Is there a reason that you're using a pen name? Let me ask you that.
Yeah, it's just 'cause I really don't like my last name.
Okay. And
Yeah, and the
so,
reason and another reason is I don't want people to know my real name because in my blog, I'm going to be telling some stories that kind of ref might reflect badly on people if they realize it's me that wrote them. So I
okay.
don't, but of course I'm going to change the people's names for their
Right.
protect their privacy, but
Okay, then that's a perfect reason to use a pen name. And so you would open up your Facebook author's page under the pen name, you would do all of your marketing under the pen name, and you would make it so that they really didn't connect you to the pen name. So you would just almost become that separate pen name person, and that's how you would do all your marketing.
Yeah, so you, but like my sister doesn't like it when I put my pen name on Facebook.
And why is and she
And
knows that you're
people don't,
using.
yeah, but other people don't know that I use a pen name.
Well, again, I think it has to be your goal and where you're going to end up with the work. And so if you're going to do the blog and say a memoir or whatever under the pen name, you would just have it as a whole separate author's page under that pen name, would be my thinking. You
Yeah,
wouldn't
so I should
actually.
just completely open a new Facebook account under my
Yes.
pen name.
Yes.
Yes. Okay, I can do that, and I can even but Facebook won't let me.
Well, here's what I think. Facebook has so many, they're trying to cut down on people having scamming. And so if it were me, I would go from my profile and I would create a business page off of your profile. You can add a business page, or you can add a business group. And I would create one of those under the pin name. And then put everything about your writing in that page or that group.
Yes, I will
Now,
do that because.
here's one thing I do want to tell you for those that are listening. If it's a group, folks can also post and comment and blah, 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 blah. If it's a page, they can't. So if it were me and I wanted to market my writing, I probably would create a business page connected to my Facebook profile and make that my author's page under the pen name. Is that helpful?
Yes, so I can easily just go in there and make a business page and call it Explore, Create, Enlighten by MJ Rooning.
Yes. Absolutely. And then all of your writing works would be posted there.
Yep, I can do that.
Perfect. I love it. Debbie, you had your hand up.
I'm sorry. I just wanted to clarify. That was in the International Academy, but under
Yes.
what category?
Authors and writers.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah, if you go to the actual little more button and click on the more button with the drop down bar, you'll see my five lanes, the real estate lane, the networking lane, and you'll see the authors and writers lane.
Okay, thank you.
Yep, and that's where you'll see that. Okay, I want to turn it over to Sandy. And Sandy, tell us about the writer's workshop, and you'll see how all of what I just shared with you connects with what Sandy is doing. Sandy?
Okay. The world of publishing, the world of getting your book out to the world has changed drastically in the last 15 some years. And keeping up with those changes is a challenge, always a challenge. As Kathy was talking about how many options there are just to what's called vanity press and self-publishing, and who's going to help you? Can you do it yourself? What are the pros, cons, and so forth? As the director, owner of Into the Springs Writers Workshop, which is always in Yellow Springs. Past 3 years, it's been at the Mills Park Hotel, which is right in the middle of Yellow Springs, and we all share the banquet room there for the whole weekend. I bring together two to three featured guests who are experts in some form of the writing world. And over the last, this would be my 7th year overall, and it varies. Mostly the stress has been on self-publishing, also called non-traditional publishing. It's gotten a lot indie publishing, so there've been a lot of different names for it as well. But this year coming up, I have an agent coming from the Storm Literary Agency, and my structure, theory, goal is to keep my featured guests, instructors, for the whole weekend in the same space as everybody else is, whether they're giving a session that hour or whether they're not, they're still available around the area. So if you have a question about something you saw, let's say her name is Victoria Savaggio. Let's say you heard Victoria talk on Friday at 6 to 7 p.m. and the question you asked didn't come to you until Saturday morning. She's still there. Matter of fact, I work them hard. So both her and my other guest is Juliet Hyland, who is a romance author. She's probably on her 15th, 17th book from the Harlequin Romance imprint called Mills and Boon. And we were talking about pen names. Yes, she has a pen name. A lot of times, romance authors have a variety of different extremes of how they express romance. Some find it's just safer for their family, for themselves, if they just use a pen name. And whenever they have a Twitter account or a Facebook account, anything out there in the public, their web page, their website, it's all about their author. Who they are as a family member is also separate as well. So, but all those choices, how do you make them? My workshop is one of those where Victoria might be the person to ask that question to. Juliet may be the person to ask that question to. So that's what I'm doing. And I don't know, Victoria, we've signed contracts. I'm now getting ready to have a correspondence with her to see how it's going to work. Because how do you pitch a book? How much of your book needs to be done before you pitch it? How long do you have to pitch it? Oh my gosh. It is probably the most, I don't want to scare anybody off, but the most stressful 5 minutes of my writing career is in those pitch sessions. Have I said enough? Have I said too much? Is she rolling her eyes yet? You know, something like that. Like, oh no, not another dragon story. I don't, you know, you want to, but you don't want to be able to read their mind. But I am tapping into their mind for that whole weekend and asking Victoria all kinds of questions. At the end of this past summer, one of my questions on the survey is, if you had an opportunity to spend a weekend with Victoria, what questions would you like to have answered? So I'm giving her all those questions, and she's really good. I've met her in person at a workshop in Columbus, Ohio, and I like the way she handled herself. I like the way she handled the audience. She knows both, because she started off as a writer and is a writer. And that gives her that feeling of knowing what it's like to be on both ends of that desk. So I'm going to have her there, and Juliet as well, who's really great about the structure, the basics. Do you have your ABCs of writing down? Like, you'll hear this term a lot in writing, particularly in fiction, but it works in nonfiction as well. And that's to show, don't tell. And yes, I have heard that many times. But let me tell you, there are some times where I'm looking at my paragraph or my page going, am I showing too much or enough? Or am I telling? Is that too much backstory? So all those kinds of questions are all those. And she's, I told her, I says, the audience at Into the Springs likes to write. So if she can oversee a writing exercise where it's like, let's practice what I mean by show, don't tell. So we'll go with that. So I'm hoping, and every year the weekend comes out a little differently because of who I have as personalities, but it gives you so much of a focus because those are the two or three that you're honing in on, and they're honing in on you for that whole weekend. We have lunch together on Saturday. So maybe if you're even, again, too shy, the thought hasn't come to you yet, maybe by lunch, somebody will say something like, oh yeah, I wanted to ask. So I do know that Victoria is going to take pitches. So that means I'm trying to carve out, 10 minutes. Because my other little goal is no one walks away from the session on purpose. Like, I always have somebody critiquing first pages, critiquing query letters, but I don't want them to walk off and sit with the person they're working with while our sessions are in hand. So now it's a matter of, okay, how do I do pitches that we can't wait until after, or we'll be up and all night long. So, you know, it's in the development. January 1st is when registration will open. There's a discount for the first 4 weeks. So if you are interested, I'll put in the chat. You just go to www.intothespringswritersworkshop.com. Nothing is out into the public because I've hidden it now while I, you know, it's like cleaning my house for company. Wait, don't see it. I'm not done yet. It's not clean enough, but it will be probably by the beginning of December, so I can tease people to come back in January and sign up. So that's it. In a nutshell, if you have questions, by all means, ask me. I'm here every month, so I will answer away happily. Thanks, Kathy.
Oh, Sandy, thank you so much for that. If you have not been to any writer's workshop, please sign up for one somewhere close to you. And if you are in Ohio and close to the Springfield, Yellow Springs area, Sandy's workshop is one of the better ones. And I say that with a lot of love. I started going to writer's workshops once I started in this lane, and I've now been to several hosted by several different folks, and Sandy's is still my favorite. And not just because she's my co-host, but her workshop is small enough that you feel like you can actually approach those authors and those publishers that are there. And some of the workshops are so large that you don't feel that they're very approachable. And that's what I really like about Sandy's. So yes, thank you for that, Sandy. I appreciate that. Mark your calendars January 1 to go over to the website into the springswritersworkshop.com so that you can register if you so choose to do that. And Sandy, it's the first weekend in August, right?
It is. 1, 2, 3.
First weekend in August. So I've cleared my calendar already.
Thank you.
So that I can be there.
No high school reunion, huh?
Well, there's going to be one sometime that weekend, but that's okay. For some reason, they've picked the same weekend, and I don't get to vote what weekend they're doing. So I'll make it work. Make that work. I love it. I want to jump over and talk to Marion. And so I started off this call by saying Marion and I go back a lot of years. We were together actually in the best way to describe it, and Debbie helped me out. It was a coaching program, and it was how to build a business and make multiple streams of income around your book so that you could monetize the book. And at the time, I really did not quite understand the publishing industry the way I do today. And it was just too new for me to jump in. And so I couldn't quite wrap my mind around what he was doing, the coach, and love him dearly. He actually was one of the hybrid publishers where he took the traditional publishing model and the self-publishing model, and he became one of the vanity presses. And again, he was one of the good ones. It wasn't a scam. If you looked him up online, a couple of people were like, is this a scam? Because there were so many out there that were scamming, and his was not. Tons of my friends have been published through him. And Marion got published at that time. And she was one of our first guests when I started this podcast. Gosh, Marion, how many years ago was that?
I don't know. A long time ago when I was still green.
Yeah, but she was one of our first guests. And so if you go back in our archives, which if you go to KathyBenner.com and scroll over to that authors and writers and click on it, you'll see a tab there to get all the replays of all of our podcasts. And Marion was one of the earlier ones there. So you can scroll back and find her interview back then. So Marion, oh, yes. Go ahead. You have something?
In the midst of me, as we're going to get into what did I do, but one of the first things I decided to do was try and do a 5-day challenge or 5-piece course. But in the midst of that, I woke up one day with double vision. So I couldn't see anything to even do my Zoom to place it up to market, to create it. So Kathy Benner, who's local here, I'm local in Columbus area, came to my rescue, and I had to enlarge the print really big for me to see. And she took the interview, and we did it. I still have it. I haven't marketed it, but I still have it. And she's the one who got me going, but she came in the nick of time. So I want to give kudos to Kathy. She went above and beyond her call of duty.
Oh, thank you, Marion.
Helping me.
And you know what?
We had a great time.
We did.
Yeah.
And it's all about, you know, I say all the time that the rising tide raises all the ships, and you cannot outgive. And so I always try to give wherever I can, because I just want everybody to live their best life, whatever that means for them. And Marion is definitely living her best life. And wait till you hear her story. She's been happily married for over 30 years. She has 2 grown children and their spouses. She has 1 grandchild. And she enjoys a cup of coffee with friends. And yes, every so often, Marion and I do sneak off for that cup of coffee. She and her husband are called the resilient couple. They've weathered the storms of life with a tenacious faith. They have been betrayed, homeless, bankrupt, and near divorce, yet their faith sustained them and strengthened their marriage and love for each other. They have witnessed miracle after miracle of God's faithfulness in their lives and children. Now, I'm not going to go any further because we're going to talk about her story. But to begin with, what motivated you way back? You got to put your thinking cap on and think way back to when we first met. What motivated you that you even wanted to write the book called Finding My Father? What motivated you at that point to say, I want to put this in writing as an author? I want to write a book. That's a big undertaking.
It is big. First of all, from a young girl on, I always wanted to write books. I tried writing a novel in the third grade, and my friend and I didn't get past the first chapter. So I put book writing on the hold for years and years and years, and I would see other books come out, and I would question, why do they think they're good enough to write a book? And I was looking at Christian bookstores, you know, people writing about their faith and how to walk through stuff with their faith. And I always poo-pooed that I had anything to share. Well, what compelled me, I'm backing up 23 years, 2017, I think is when I started writing. I knew it was time to write. And I didn't know what topic, because I had all these books. Everywhere I went, I saw a book, and I actually started writing a book, have 10 chapters of it written. But why this story, Finding My Father? That was because as I knew I was going to write a book, and I jumped through the hybrid, they had an interview process to go through, I knew that I had to write on my own life experience first. And my life experience was so profound. And I guess you're asking me, Kathy, the history behind my book.
Well, and just what prompted you to actually want to write it. So,
right.
For those that don't know, her father had an untimely death before her birth. And that made a significant impact on her life. So, tell us his story.
He was killed November 1st, 1955, in the first ever plane bombing over U.S. soil outside of Denver, Colorado. All 44 passengers were blown up in the sky. All the bodies landed over 160 square acres. The plane parts and debris landed over 640 acres of farmland north of Denver. My dad was 31 on a business trip from Philadelphia to Oregon, and my mom was left instantly widowed with my younger sister, who was 15 months old, and I was 6 months in her womb when she tragically lost my dad in this. It was a national catastrophe. It broke a lot of first time ever. They caught the man. He got the gas chamber within 17 months of committing the crime. He put 25 sticks of dynamite in the plane to kill his mom, who was on the plane for insurance.
Wow. So,
it's huge. FBI was involved. It's the first of everything. And they didn't have bag of checks back then. We now have the TSA because of that flight. Cameras were not allowed in the courtroom. It was the first time cameras were allowed in the courtroom. President Eisenhower had two of his people on that flight that were instantly killed. I have a fact sheet on my website that you're more than welcome to download. I have since then more facts to add to it. I've just haven't updated it. But that kind of gives the background of my story. And I found myself at age 40 coming to a cataclysmic breakdown. And I didn't know why. And that's where my story started. That was the first time I started wanting to know who my real father was.
And so it wasn't until you were 40 that you said, I need to research this. And the more you research, the more you said, I need to write this story.
Well, actually, my heart was so broken. My husband and I were happily married. We're in the ministry. I am a Christian, have a strong faith. And my mom remarried when I was 6 years old. We knew how my dad died. We knew the man got the death penalty, and we thought all was settled. We felt justified. So I went on with life, happy-go-lucky. I was a high achiever in school, summa cum laude in high school, summa cum laude in college, had a wonderful career path. And I didn't really think anything of it, although I had a deep longing kind of about my dad, but my mom, my stepdad, did not allow my mother to talk about our real dad ever. In fact, he got very angry. So I hardly knew anything about my real dad. So on and off during my years prior to 1994 is when I had my crash. 95 was when I crashed. I had bits and pieces. 95, we had calamity after calamity in our family. We lost a church. My husband was chronically unemployed at a time when the nation, rest of the nation, was employed. My husband went from job to job. And we had a friend die of cancer, leaving four kids at a young age. And I caved, I crashed, and I didn't know why. And that began my searching for answers. And I knew God was the only way out. And I was emotionless. I had kids by then, two kids. And I just cried out to God to start whatever reason why couldn't I cope in life? Why wasn't my husband having a job? And
So
oh man,
you were feeling
I
pretty
was really
helpless.
down. I was very helpless, hopeless, helpless. I knew the word. I taught the word. I was in ministry, but I caved and crashed. And for the first time, I began missing my real dad, and that began my quest.
Okay, so how much research did you do before you said, I now need to search out how to write this book. Were you kind of searching on how to write a book prior to your, I mean, which came first? The
We,
research?
my entire healing from the loss of my dad came first.
Okay.
It took me 20 years later to write my story, but I knew when I had what I call my ultimate healing from the loss of my dad, I knew I wanted to make his life count. I just knew in my heart that he could not have died in vain without this story going out. But I waited 20 years. Why? I don't know. Right before I found the hybrid program that I met Kathy in, I had been getting stirred to write a book. As I say, I already started one book based off my life story too. Falls in the romance story category. This gnawing to know my real dad had from that point on in the 90s, 20 years later, never left me. And I realized that I needed to write a book, a true life book about myself before I wrote the other books. So I needed to come out, share this story, and help other people become healed from tragedy in their past, from trauma in their past, from upheavals in their lives. And I knew that my story and what I went through could bring them hope. And that's why I wrote the book. So finding my father is a two-edged sword. I wanted to know who my real dad was. Now my mom died in 1998. I didn't start writing the book to 20 years later.
So you actually in the writing, it became kind of a healing process for you to actually write this story.
Actually, I thought I was healed. I think it was more, it was revisiting all the wounds that I'd walked through, got healed from. I mean, I couldn't afford an editor, so to my girlfriends, I said, I can feed you lunch. And and so twice a week for 3 to 4 months, we met around a kitchen table, alternating between their homes, and I would feed them lunch. And
And
they
again, Marion and I, we met through this hybrid publisher, and
right.
that was one of the things that he didn't include in his price point was the editing. He had editors that you could pay additional and get help with editing. But again, Marion just shared that she really didn't have the funds to do that at the time. And so the good news, and here's another great reason to get into some of these writers' workshops. The good news is that we had surrounded ourselves with other authors, and there's always folks that come to the table that have skill sets in areas we don't have skill sets. And we certainly can meet up with some of those folks at some of these writer conferences. And Marion and I faithfully went to his big writers conference every year. And so and tons of my guests on this podcast has been from that group and that
But
organization.
I had already been in the program with the coaching to write the book. And so I didn't know where to start writing the book because there's the element of what happened in Denver. I'm getting back to your original question on the research. I began researching on the internet. It's called Flight 629. Y'all can Google it. You'll find a lot of stuff on Flight 629. So I began looking through the internet. I found one book. I ordered that book, talked with the author. He was a lawyer who did came out in 2005 with a very in-depth book about this flight from the case legal standpoint. But so that's how I wrote the fourth chapter in my book. And I'm going to get into a little writing here. Maybe I'm jumping the gun on
No,
it, but
go ahead.
okay. But I knew I couldn't write the book in I form because why? I wasn't born yet. So how could I write I in an I point of view from I? So I wrote on the council of my coaches, I wrote it from my mother's point of view because I couldn't write it from my dad's point of view because he dies. So I took my mother's point of view and I had boxes of memories because she had passed away in 1998 of all her old letters. I began combing through them. And it's because of her letters, because of the documents and the book found on the internet. There's only one other book besides mine written about this flight. I was able to write the first third of my book from my mother's point of view.
Wow.
I heard her story for the first time when I was age 42. In the midst of all my healing process, I did not tell her what I was going through, but my dad stepped out at Alzheimer's, and so my mom, when she was free, was able to tell me a little bit more and more and more. And I learned what happened the first night where she heard the news. That's in my book. So I wrote the first part basically from conversations with my mom and from letters that I found of hers and in her box letters from her friends, the whole process and what all that happened to her at that time, up to the time that I was born. Then I had the problem, how do I bring it up to the healing part, my journey? So I had two chapters that filled in the gap of where was I? You know, what happened? What
Because now you
happened?
had to segue from the actual story over to how you're going to create a business wrapped around this book, and you had to create that segue.
Yes, I had to create the segue. How could I make this story meaningful? And my own healing story is not in the first third. Why? Because I wasn't born yet. Okay. So the back two thirds is my life journey and how at age 42 I had to come to realize that the impact of my dad's being fatherless. Let's call it that because people are fatherless for a lot of reasons. had such a major impact in me in my life, how I responded to God, how I responded to my husband. For instance, I didn't even know that my husband loved me for 3 years. I married a man. I knew he loved me. I knew I loved him, but I really couldn't believe in my heart that he could love me. Took 3 years into our marriage for it to sink in. We still joke about it, but that's how it had affected me. I didn't think any man could love me. Men are going to leave me. I couldn't trust men. I had an ogre for a stepdad. We walked on eggshells. So I had a lot of internal conflicting issues, which the last back really cover on how God, what I call it, unraveled me because I was frozen. I was emotionally frozen. And he took it right back to the loss of my dad. So
wow. That's all.
And I wrote it because I wrote it with the in. I didn't want just a book about me because I thought, who's going to buy a book about me? You know, really. I wanted it so that anyone could pick it up. Here it is. This is my original copy with all my notes. Could pick it up and find their own healing by reading my story. So I had to make a decision. Who is my audience? Who do I want to target? What did I want them to leave with the takeaway from my story? Well, I knew I wanted to leave anyone who really seriously reads my book. And I know who does and doesn't. I hear reports back from those who really do. And I know friends have bought my book and never picked it up. And I know it because they would have come back to me. Because everyone who really reads it go, my Marianne, I was so inspired. You gave me hope. I hear a positive response. And that was the goal of my book. I didn't want it to be about me. I wanted to point towards Christ and God and them. I wanted to be just a little step in their journey in life. And if I could bring healing in one area of their life through reading my book, no matter where they're at in life, then I would have done my job. So I had to have a goal in mind. What's the purpose in writing this whole story?
Okay, let's talk about your writing. So you've gone through a lot of the healing process. You know that you want to write the story. You're now searching for a way to get this published. Mm-hmm. And let me just back up and I'm going to ask you another.
I'd already chosen the hybrid. I didn't write the book before I joined the program.
Okay, but let's back up and let me ask you this question, because I think this is very appropriate for maybe a lot of our listeners. You had in the back of your mind that you wanted to write a book. Did you happen across an ad or something about getting published and it clicked for you? Or did you say, I'm going to go out today and look for a publisher?
Well, I started about 6 months before I discovered the hybrid. I asked for Christmas magazines, the writer magazines. I began doing my research on how to write a book.
Okay.
So my husband gave me magazines, which to this day I haven't read because of the hybrid. I thumbed through them like, thank you. That's what I wanted. I picked my favorite author. I liked his writing style. Now, mind you, I thought I was going to write it's a based on true story, a romance story that has a lot of mystique in it.
Okay.
That's from my past. So I love the Nicholas Sparks books. So I went to a used bookstore. I picked out his books and started reading them. How does he get his book into a movie? Number one, I was fascinated by that. What was his writing style? How did he weave the characters? I started reading all. I have like 10 of his books. I started reading them. That's what I did to prepare myself. How to make effective incoming stories. So for other people, it'd be another author, you know, like James Patterson. But for me, it was.
So you can see for our listeners, Marianne put her energy out there that she was going to write a book. So that the decision had been made that she was going to write a book.
Yes. And as I say, I have 10 chapters written of this uncompleted book, which is a fun romance story based on a true story with me. And I'm not going to go into it because I'm going to take up too much time. But then I have other books in mind to write, but I haven't even started them. Why? Because I've been working on where this has taken me.
So
This
I
has
want to
become.
ask you a couple of questions about writing, and then we're going to segue over into where this journey has actually taken you. Did you set aside a time each day to say, I'm going to get up at a certain time and I'm going to write? Or did you just write when you felt like, oh, I've got this information, it's coming, I got to get behind, my computer or a pen and paper and get it written down? How did you actually manage your time to
Well,
write?
because I was part of this program, I had 18 months from start to finish to publish my book, or else I'd have to pay an additional $500. Now, it cost quite a
Okay.
bit of money. We didn't have the money, but my husband said, let's do it. You need to write. My children said, Mom, you need to write. We knew all along you were a writer. So I had that behind me. But once I jumped through that interview process they went through, I got real excited about putting my story down, and I knew that was the one over the romance story. I knew that this personal, heartfelt, heart-wrenching, it is heart-wrenching book would be the first one to declare, this is who I am as an author, and this is my life. And so
And
what
Mary
did I do?
well, she
I
talked about having an 18-month time period. There's nothing more motivating than a good, healthy deadline.
It was. And I'm wired. Different people are wired differently. I was not working full time. Many writers are working full time. So obviously you'd have to write when your kids are in bed or you have quiet space. For me, I was already not working full time due to another incident that happened that took me home. So I would plow right into, and I was pretty narrow focused.
Okay.
I consumed myself in writing all the time. I was like, so that's I hyper focused. I would get
It was
away
your
to,
job. You looked at it as that was your job for the day, was to write so many
yes,
words.
I had to as right. Yeah, I didn't even count my words. I did it more by chapter, more by flow, I guess. I would get away in cafes. I spent a lot of money in cafes till I realized I'd go broke. because I could write better in a cafe set up with, there's Panera's Bread at Easton, which was really nice. It's closed since then. I could sit there for hours, but I was buying lunch, then I was buying coffee. I thought, I can't keep doing this. But I got my most creative juices were away, actually away from the household, just because I saw the household work. I didn't have a separate off. I did not have a separate office where I could hide. So then my research, when I dove into research about Flight 629, I was pulling things off the internet, articles and documentaries and all this. That took a lot to consume and time. So a lot of research went in. And then when I wrote the last two-thirds of my book, it's called Beyond Tragedy for Reason. That's the first third. Through Trauma. That's kind of the middle part. And then Into Freedom is really where it gets juicy.
Did you have a plan when you started the book, or did you, and I say this all the time, you have to start first and get clarity second. So I think I know the answer. But did you know from the very beginning what you wanted all of this to look like, or did you just get more and more clear as it unfolded?
I got more and more clear as it unfolded. And my friends helped me because I would stop and start. I didn't write 8 hours a day. I had household duties. I had other things to do. And I found that when I come back to writing, that I would be writing a memory or something that I'd already written about. So part of my editors, my friends, were to catch that as we sat around the table saying, Marin, you brought this up before, you used this word before, you used this expression before. And they would help me either take it out or to reword it. But I got thoroughly immersed in my writing. My writing style is I decided was I had a hook at the end of each chapter, which would lead to the next chapter. Here's a paragraph, just open it up to. My prayer times with Jesus from that day forth radically took on a different direction. I heard his loving words back to me succinctly and more frequently. My interior wrestling lessened, though not settled. I still needed to release and resolve much emotional baggage, but knowing he truly loved me made the trek toward the finish line so much easier. Further grounded in the Father's acceptance and love, facing my inner monsters could be possible, whether I wanted to acknowledge their existence or not. Before my visit up above, I just had a very profound spiritual experience, which I just talked about. Before my visit up above, I blamed everyone and anything for my misery. I lived in denial about my responsibility, but that was about to change. Being in the throne room of the Father established my D-Day, and with my VE-Day advancing on an unknown horizon. And I discovered that I was leaving each, I well, each chapter so it would feed into the next one. And
That's what
in
keeps your readers, that's what keeps your readers reading.
yes, they did. I got comments when someone really seriously reads, they go, "Maren, I couldn't put your book down. I couldn't put your book down." But I did those lead-ons from chapter to chapter because, oh, one, I didn't want it to be a how-to manual on trauma. Let's go back to that. A lot of books about yourself, your life story. We were taught in this hybrid to have a, like 7-step plan or 12-step plan or, well, there is no plan on how anyone gets out of trauma or through trauma. I don't care. The best psychologists can't really have a formula. And I didn't want mine to be a how-to manual for anyone to pick up my book and find a pattern for getting out of their own trauma. So that's why I wrote it the way I did. It's not a how-to manual.
So now let's do the segue. How
Okay.
did you then start creating this business, this coaching, this mentoring? How did you create that around this material?
Around this material. Well, I had we were taught to turn your book, if you want to monetize your book, that creating a course or coaching program seemed to be the way to go. At least that was more emphasized than the other ways that you could do, that you could go. And I decided that I would create a course based on my experience. But I had also, because of my past, I had audited the way back in my past when we were young, pastoral counseling courses. And so even when I was going through my healing process, I kind of knew what phase I was in. I mean, it was really funny. Yeah. physicians heal thyself, and they're going, "Oh my goodness, I'm doing this. Oh my goodness, I'm
Because
reacting this way."
you had training in that.
Yeah, I had training. Yeah. Yeah. So, but after my healing, I really thought I wanted to, this is back in the 90s, to make my experience count and to help others. So I ended up in a church that had a really good counseling pastor, and he developed a peer counseling course. A biblically based counseling course, which I bring up in my books, very important. Biblically based, which made the most sense to me. And it ended up, so I took that, I mentored under him. He gave me hard cases. So I did a lot of my own life experience in coaching and counseling people through their hardships. Then later on, when I wrote the book, I took a trauma recovery course, got certified. I could have gotten CEUs for it, but I didn't need CEUs. But it was by the Lighthouse Christian Counseling Services in Columbus, Ohio. The woman was 88 years old giving these courses. still standing strong from her over 40, 50 years experiencing counseling, a biblical approach, God-centered approach. So I got certified through that. And then my last one, I went through her courses several times as part of a mentoring group with her. Then I further got trained as a chaplain.
Wow. So you can see Marian has put in the work. You can see what she's talking about. I think sometimes an author thinks, oh, I'm just, yeah, especially in today's society, they think, oh, I'm just going to write this book and I'm going to upload it and self-publish it into KDP and I'm going to make $1 million.
Right.
And then they wonder why it doesn't work.
No. So what I decided, the pandemic happened right after my book came out. And so I thought to myself, well, I'm not going to do, I could have gotten it at Barnes and Noble's then for book signings then, which was the next way I was going to go. But I decided I'm not going to go with a mask on. No one's going to come. So I dove into writing a 12-week course based on all of this that I had learned. And so that took me probably a year just because I am picky and I'm very high graphics. So it's very pictorial. I'm very visual. So, and then I had to tape them. Then I had to learn how to put them on Zoom. And then I had to learn how to load them up on YouTube. And I had to learn then how to edit them. So it was a long process, but I created the course. And then from the course, that was when the 5-day challenge came in that Kathy Benner helped me with. And then, but up to date now, what I've done, it has morphed. I pursued business coaching out of two men that came from the other program that I well respect, and they have helped me. I offered last year free workshops over Eventbrite and biblical approach to trauma recovery. At first, in the beginning, I didn't put the biblical on it, although it was in the description. And I had, as soon as I would mention the scripture, I hear click, 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 people.
Well, and I say, Marian, I say all the time, you have to be true to yourself because your tribe will find you.
Yeah, that's exactly true. Because as soon as we search my language and targeted, I'm now up front, biblical approach. The results have been phenomenal. But this year, I'm still, and also last year, then I wanted my 12-week course to do something. And I created a membership group based off Kathy Benner gave me the idea. She talked to me about for 2 years before I actually did it because I couldn't see how could I do a membership group? This is absurd. So I took my 12-week course that I spent a couple of years before really laboring over. And I broke it down into monthly topics. And now I have a full-fledged Freedom Igniters healing community. And we currently meet on Fridays, although that day's up for option. But and it went from 1 day a month, but the demand was there for a second week. So I'm home. I work from home. Okay, let's do it. Now we offer it 3 times a week and we'll cover the topic in depth and we'll tease it out more and we'll pray. We'll discuss our problems, our issues. And there have been breakthroughs that have happened.
So this has just taken on a life of its own. And it's because you saw the vision, you put in the work. And if anybody takes anything away from this call today, is if you really want something, you're going to have to put in the work. There's no shortcuts.
Right.
And I say all along, if you do all the right stuff for all the right reasons, God will honor it. And God has certainly honored all of your efforts, Marian.
Yeah, I want to make it clear because a lot of you may be writing how-to manuals, which are fine. I don't mind how-to manuals. I just didn't want one for trauma, you know. Some of you may be writing children's books. Some of you may be writing novels. And supposing you want to take a course out of your novel, well, think clearly, what is the theme of your novel? What is it? Are there underlying values you want to impart as you write the novel and your characters? Do you have an aim or goal in mind besides just a nice story? And once you decide that, then you're going to see how I could make a course out of this, or I could do a blog out of this, or I could do a YouTube thing out of this. Like, I really want to do a YouTube eventually, but but I haven't yet really. But you can turn anything around. I know because of this group that I was with, I'm networked with authors all around the country. We're still in a chat group. And one of them is a Christian fantasy writer. Now, I'm not a fantasy writer. I don't even like fantasy movies. But guess what? She has created a course. She has a purpose and goal for her fantasy books. And she's really, really good. She's a really good developmental editor. I wish I knew that she did it. I would have hired her. I would have paid her. But because she's helped me with some wordsmithing, she's excellent. But so you could take any book or what you have and create a course. You could create a 5-day challenge. You could create a whole Facebook group out of it. You could do the sky's the limit once you settle on why am I writing? Where do I want my readers to end up with? What is the takeaway I want them to have? And then you can just experiment. Like, I'm not doing free workshops anymore on Eventbrite. Why? People, they were getting filled out. 25 was allowed last year. Now you're allowed up to 100, but that time 25 maximum and free. So they filled up, but one or two people would show up. So I'm charging, flat out charging $25. Hey, the most brokenhearted person can afford $25. So I'm now going to start charging in 2025. But and
And
I'm
again,
starting.
this is a way that you can monetize your whole program, which
Right.
has tons of value. She's bringing tons of value to her audience. And so again, I don't mind paying for value. I don't think any
Right.
of us mind
Yeah.
paying for value. It's like when I go to Sandy's workshop, I certainly don't mind paying to go to a writer's workshop because there is so much, the value far exceeds the price point. And so I think that's the takeaway. I want to open it up for questions. Does anyone have any questions for Marion so far? I love how she just broke it down about how she wrote the book, why she wrote the book, how she has now segued over into this entire program. And again, I can't express enough just the realization of how much work that Marion has put in behind the scenes. That's the part we don't see often when we're on a call like this. We say, oh, wow, it must be nice to have all these books. We don't see the work that goes in behind the scenes. And so, Marion, my hat is off to you for all the hard work you've done. So thank you for sharing that. Any comments or questions for Marion?
Can I share what's happened since my book?
Sure.
Okay. Well, unbeknownst to me, because I did my research on documentaries, I had written at the advice of the hybrid. Y'all can do the same thing. If you're writing about a certain thing and if something happens in the United States that kind of mirrors your book, you can jump on that and use it. Well, I'll give you an example. CBS Channel 4 in Denver had done a 50th anniversary documentary or 60th one on Flight 629. And that was one of the ones that I saw in for my research. And I learned that there is an 86-year-old gentleman in Colorado still alive who was age 18 when the plane went down. And it was his parents' farm where the largest number of bodies fell on the 160 acres.
Wow.
And my heart leaped. I didn't know, I didn't realize. Well, as I wrote the book, you can see chapter 4, you can read about it. I saw the American spirit as I never known before. So I thought, wow, it'd be so cool to meet him. But what I did was instead of highlighting my book to the CBS 4 news person who did it, I looked him up and I wrote him a thank you note went through CBS for, wrote him a thank you note, and told him I was a daughter of one of the passengers killed. And thank you so much for bringing awareness to this. That was it. And I sent him a $15 Starbucks card. So he immediately wrote me back. He said, Marion, I would love to talk with you. And if you're ever in Denver area, give me a call. But here's the name of a local guy that you need to talk to. So because of him, he gave me this local contact. I'm now best friends, really good friends with a guy named Rick Tittle, who's had this. He was 7 years old at the time. Well, no, he was a month old at the time when it happened. 7 years old when his mother told him. He lived right near that huge calamity. And he's always had it on his mind to have a memorial built there. But he knew the gentleman who was 88 years old who was on the field. So he put me in contact with him. Next thing, my husband and I flew out in 2022. I was interviewed by CBS4, Denver, ABC Denver, Channel 7 interviewed me. All those interviews are on my website. I have a whole network of friends there. It's unbelievable. I got interviewed on a radio show that opened up even more. And then it's just been snowballing. And I went back twice this year. And there's now a committee formed to actually see a memorial built. I was part of that committee. I'm no longer, because I knew I had to dedicate myself to writing and content writing. And I was a victim's family member. So locals out there are running with it, with this whole dream of mine. And I got invited to speak at four different places later on in August. So my whole family, except for my husband, he couldn't take time off work, drove out 20 hours, took books over there. My books are still out there. And I've been invited back to speak next year at a church and other things. So things are mushrooming, of all things, in Denver, all because I thanked that CBS4 person. I took a risk and thanked him. So I would love for local media to pick up this story. I don't know if that will ever happen, but that's where it lies. So that's what's happened. There's like two parts to me. I'm the writer, and I need to write an addendum to the book. After all the stories, I've heard life-related stories to this. I met people who are on the beat fields, more of them, people who are teenagers at the time, people whose parents were traumatized by it. I have so much history now. I could write an improved version of my book just on what happened in Denver. But that's where, my book even got to the Congo. I had a missionary here say, Mary, can I take your book to the Congo? I said, well, yeah. Does he speak English? He said, yeah. So I'm now tutoring him in trauma recovery. He's part of that healing community and gets on Zoom every week. So my book is, I didn't go to Africa, but my book has.
So you see how this has just taken on a life of its own. Yes, Leslie said, Mary, and your journey is inspiring. Yes, definitely inspiring. Leslie, please, please continue writing from your passion, just like Marion has. You never know where it's going to take you, but I'm here to say, be ready, be ready. Cause when you put yourself out there, I think you have to be ready to embrace where your journey is going to go. So be ready for it. Oh, Marion, you've done a wonderful job. Questions, comments, anybody have any questions or comments for Marion? I want to give this, we're a little over time, but I just want to give everybody an opportunity to say something to Marion before we tell you how to connect with her. Comments, aha moments, kudos, anything at all. Yes, MJ.
Well, so what I wanted to say is that I really like how you've inspired me. And, you know, sometimes I feel, sometimes, you know, it's traumatizing to hear things like stuff that I wasn't alive to see. But, you know, I've always had this really bad hatred, even though I wasn't alive when it happened. But I have a really just bad hatred for John Lennon's killer. And I want to write a song about a mean girl. So I don't actually commit the crime, but a mean girl who kills him and cooks his liver.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's based on an actual song. It's like a parody of another song where that's actually kind of rude and talks about, killing some girl and then making a cage with her bones.
Oh, wow.
Called Excitable Boy, and it's by Warren Zevon. And
Wow.
I'm writing about his female counterpart who like goes out to dinner and rubs lasagna on her breasts, and
Oh.
then goes to the Wex, because if you're familiar with Les Wexner, he was friends with that pedophile Jeffrey Epstein. Well, I make up one scene where this girl, she goes to the Wexner Theater for the Arts, and she asks the makes the usher pay her for sex. 'Cause she's also a prostitute, but I realized that, there was this one, I had this one lady get really creeped out by the thought of me wanting to kill some real person and cook their liver. But what I realize is that, people are gonna like it, 'cause I'm sure there are people out there that wished, who would die, wish John Lennon's
No,
killer would get the death penalty, but.
and that's what creative writing is all about. Everybody has their interests and what they like to read and even the fantasy writers. So,
Yeah.
yes. And again, when we were talking earlier, that's why you want to use a pen
Pen
name and you're
name.
yeah.
Yeah, I
Because
can
I
see
don't want people to track me down and say, hey, this
why.
lady's out to eat to be a cannibal.
Nope, I
Well,
get it.
I'm glad I inspired you. But may I say one more thing, because we didn't touch on it. I know we're over time, but my ultimate healing came when I was confronted with the anger and hatred in my heart towards the man who killed my killer. It killed my dad.
Yes.
And that's what boiled up near the end, and I did not want to forgive him. I did not want to do it, and I couldn't. In all severe crimes, that is the bottom line. We must forgive, but we don't necessarily mean forgiving means forgetting. I'll never forget my dad's life was taken. And however, I am free from it. I can now talk about it. I never could have gone to Denver. I could not have done what I did. Could not have written the book had I not. But I didn't want to, and I asked God for the grace to forgive the man who killed my dad. That is the power in my story. And
Yeah, well, I like how you say that because, I still can't forgive the guy who killed John Lennon. No. And I actually have, and actually, one thing I'm going to write about in my blog is I actually took a trip to New York and I actually saw the place where the whole scene happened. And it was sad to see, but at least it inspired me to maybe go to Liverpool and talk about, eventually go to England and talk about, where each of the Beatles were born and grew up. And
Well, for
I
your
also want to point out that I think Ringo's going to be the last one.
own Yeah, I think for the purpose of your book, you will want to do the
The
hardcore
blog.
research. The research. Yeah, going to Liverpool is research. It could actually be, I don't know what point of stage you're in. It can end up your whole cost of your trip could have been expensed as an author. So
Yes, because books are business. So yes, if you set yourself up as a business, it does come with some nice little perks. Yes. Sandy, did you have a comment?
What I think is really fascinating is this is a very emotionally traumatic experience, and yet amidst it all, because books are business, keeping the idea that who's your audience, what's your takeaway is so prime, because otherwise it's more or less a diary, and you wanted to do more than just inform or remind yourself. So I like that idea. Challenging at times because it means you have to be objective and looking at it from the outside rather than from your heart and soul and memories and family. But
Right. Yeah, I was very much afraid in writing my book and being so transparent. Very much afraid. That was one of the questions she fielded me. to Kathy, I was very much afraid. I self-doubted myself that anyone would want to read it. Who am I going to write to? How am I going to appeal to all people in writing my book? And how am I going to do this? And being transparent, gut level, was scary because, I have my kids, my grown kids. I don't think they read the book yet, to be honest. They have a copy of it. I don't think they've read it. My husband said he lived it. So,
Wow.
yeah, when you go to write, and whatever you write, put your whole heart and soul into it. If it's a fun novel, oh my goodness, just have fun writing the characters, developing the characters, because this is you. This is your expression out and to your reader, and you hope that they will be inspired, encouraged, or, just, wow, this is a fun author. I mean, I read a book from an author friend that I met through a coaching program who is really funny and humorous. And, like Emma Bombeck of years ago. So just be yourself. If you're serious and you want a serious tone in your book, be serious. But if you're lighthearted and joke, I love to joke. And so I kind of put a lot of twists, a little quirky stuff in my book to ease the blow of the dramatic topic that I talked about. But just be yourself. If it's writing a how-to manual, maybe you've been successful in business. Maybe you've done love the entrepreneurial spirit like Kathy, and you're going to deal with business leaders. Just be yourself, and people will
Marion,
respect that and like it.
thank you so much. You've been such an inspiration. I hope that we have inspired some new authors that are in the group that maybe needed to get a little push to start writing. Again, any aha moments or takeaways from our conversation today? My biggest aha moment takeaway is when Marion said she bought the program and she had 18 months to complete it. And the first thing that I thought of was, yeah, that's nothing like a good, healthy deadline. And I think sometimes that's what I need to do. I need to go in and set a deadline for myself to finish a couple of projects that I keep thinking I'm going to get to, and I never get around to it. And so, yeah. So, Marion, thank you for that. That's my takeaway today. My aha moment is that I need to set some deadlines. Anyone else have a takeaway before we go? Debbie.
Just take
I
the
don't.
next step. Just
Yes.
basically take the next step. And you never know when you're going to see an inspiration. And I realized just the other night watching something that I have the great ending, but the first chapter. And that is because this year in December will be the 10th year anniversary of my mom passing. And I go, oh, wow. That was like a real eye opener. So, like I said, just keep your eyes open. You never know when you're going to see the inspiration, and it'll just domino effect of adding to it. So. Yes. Thank you, Marion. It was really good, and I'm already looking to get your book.
Wow. Thank you, Debbie. You're local here, so you know how to reach me, and I'll invite you when I do a whole presentation for the first time in Columbus. I'll be
Oh,
giving
great.
one.
Please do.
Yeah, you'll
Very
hear the whole story. Yeah.
Yes,
Okay.
very nice. Any other comments? And Marion, how can folks get in touch with you?
Freedomlifejoy.com will take you to my website. That's just freedomlifejoy.com.
I think I spelled
And
all of that correctly. Yes. I put it
yes.
in the chat for everyone.
And then I am launching a newsletter. So just get with Kathy or whatever. I can send you my landing page for my newsletter. I haven't started yet. I'm just beginning to launch it. and ironically created a landing page. Why? Because I have a free workshop to do tomorrow that I didn't know I had. And so I looked at Eventbrite last week and go, I thought I canceled it. Oh my goodness, I've got people signed up. So, because
Like
I
I said,
hate
it's taken on a life of its own. So, Marion, thank you so
it is.
much for being on with us. I appreciate that MJ is here, and Sandy, thank you. And I appreciate Sandy's telling us about the workshop. So put it on your calendars in January to go to Into the Springs Writers Workshop to get registered for that. Marion, thank you. She is local to the Columbus, Ohio area, if anybody is close there. Debbie, thanks for being on with us. Leslie, thank you for coming on and listening to the presentation. Rachel, thank you so much for being on and listening. Any last comments before we go? I appreciate all of you, and please put us on your calendar. We are here every month, and it's the same Zoom ID every month, and you're welcome to join us anytime. We'd love to have you as part of our call. So thank you so much. The replay will be on YouTube under Kathy Benner. Just you see my name there, my little Hollywood square. You can just Google Kathy Benner and you can find our podcast. You can find my blog. You can find the Academy. All of it is just under my name. So thank you so much for being with us. And we will see everyone next time.
Thank you.
Bye, everybody.
Thank you,
Bye.
everyone. Thank you for being good listeners. Thank
Bye-bye.
you.
Bye.
Bye.